Welcome to the Well Woman Show, where we interview women executives, leaders, and entrepreneurs.
And you're listening to the Well Woman Show,
where motivated women achieve fulfillment and well-being.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show.
Take time for myself by coming to things like Well Woman Drinks.
To be accepting of myself no matter what. Step away from judgment as much as possible.
You're listening to the Well Women Show.
You're going to be in for a good ride. I don't regret anything. Everything I've ever done, I've learned from it, one way or another, good or bad.
Being a little bit selfish for yourself, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first and then give what's left.
I'm a woman. I would prefer to tell my own story. My story, though it's very personal, is universal.
You're listening to the Well Woman Show. And now your host, Giovanna Rossi.
Hi, Giovanna Rossi here, and welcome to another episode of The Well Woman Show, where I interview women leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs about their lives and their road to becoming and being who they are today. Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with your responsibilities, and it seems like you'll never get it all done? Well, you're not alone. We all need to remember to use our superpowers, the ones we already have but don't use all the time, and take advice and wisdom from one another. Towards the end of the show, in a segment called Superpowers for Success, I ask my guest about her superpowers, and the answers will give you the strength, perspective, and power to keep on being the well woman you are. I'm so happy you're here, so thanks for tuning in. Today's topic is learning and teaching gratitude by practicing it, and hopefully by the end of the show, you'll be inspired to readjust your attitude about what you have and want in your life. Begin to include practices of gratitude in your daily life, and start sharing your gratitude with your loved ones. My guest today is Antonia Montoya, founder of Our Gratitude Collective, a virtual community space for practicing gratitude, feeling connected, and becoming inspired. Antonia works with entrepreneurs to use gratitude to overcome their career challenges and stresses to find greater balance and success. She also presents her evidence-based work at conferences and events throughout the world. Today, I talk to Antonia about the value of practicing and sharing gratitude, her personal path to career success, and well-being through gratitude and daily self-care practices, and the highs and lows that led her to where she is today. The free giveaway today is Antonia's Noticing, Appreciating, and Sharing handout. And it's available at wellwomanlife.com/027show. I love the giveaway because it describes Antonia's three-step gratitude process and gives you the opportunity to start practicing right away. Now to my interview with Antonia Montoya. Hi, Antonia. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's so great to have you on the show. As I've said in the introduction, I've worked with Antonia over a number of years on different projects, and I just absolutely love your not so new now gratitude work. And so will you tell the listeners, what are you working on and how does it impact women's lives?
Thanks. Yes. So I specifically... personally, as well as guiding others to do it professionally, have a daily written gratitude practice where I write down, I say three things I'm grateful for every day, but a lot of times it's more than that. And then other times I'm just not feeling more than one or two. And so that is, in my eyes, like for my personal practice, it's all about well-being and self-care. But a lot of times as I'm working with others, some people use gratitude as a marketing tool. And we can talk a little bit more about all those different ways that we can utilize this. But that is basically like the quick and dirty of the way I practice gratitude.
And so the main focus is on well-being and self-care.
Definitely.
Okay. And for, I think a lot of listeners probably practice gratitude in some form or another, but will you just give us why is gratitude good for your well-being and self-care?
Well, I will say a couple of things related to this. First, I want to say that my take on a gratitude practice is a little bit different in that I really focus on three steps to practicing gratitude. And the step number one is noticing, which seems really obvious. But if you don't notice something, you can't be grateful for it. So there's this whole mindfulness piece that's built into the step number one of noticing. Mm. And then step number two is appreciating. And then step number three is where my practice is a little bit different, and that is sharing. Not everyone is as open to sharing their gratitude as I am, and I understand that. But what I have seen is through sharing, open-hearted, vulnerable sharing, it builds connections really quickly with people and really deeply. And it makes a gratitude practice from a personal, in my journal, never uttering a word of it, into a contagious, beautiful way of life.
So I really like that. But I do want to ask you, because some people are ready to share and some people aren't, maybe, or maybe just not yet, or, you know, something like that. So how can people prepare themselves for sharing? Because it takes that next step of really not being worried about what people think of what you're going to say and just sort of going for it, right? So what can you say to women who are maybe aren't ready to share?
Well, first I would start by saying that, well, let me start with a little anecdote. Whenever I have everyone like a little table at an event, and I'll be promoting my gratitude website or other things, and I have a gratitude board where people write what they're grateful for. On this board, it's like a big chalkboard, and everyone sees it. Well, with the gratitude board, people rarely even hesitate. They just go up there and write what they're grateful for, and they know everyone's going to see it, and that's a form of sharing. Another thing I'll say is when I'm at these events, every single time I have many people that come up to me and they say, my boss needs this. My husband needs this. My kid, what do I do to make my kids more grateful? All these sorts of things. And I always tell people the same thing, that if you want someone else to be grateful, you can't tell them you should be grateful. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could, but it's not going to be effective. What you can do is practice it and share it with them. So like if you want your kids to be grateful, you speaking from the heart, saying what you're grateful for to your kids is the first step.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you have to model that behavior, right?
Yes. And it opens up. It takes sharing gratitude is a vulnerability leap. And if we're going to ask others to take it, the best way we can do that is to show a way or pave a path forward by our own, by modeling it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So along those lines, and then to kind of touch back to your original question, I think that, so I share my gratitude on Facebook. And when I share it on Facebook, I share it publicly. Like I have my posts set to public, so you don't even have to be my friend to share or to read it. That's extreme in my mind. And I don't necessarily recommend that for everyone. But we can take baby steps towards sharing gratitude. So one thing, my gratitude website, for instance, has a community aspect built into it. And on the gratitude website, you can change the permissions that only you see it, or only other people who are members of the site see it, or public. And so I'd say like sharing is in a public or in a, not public, I'm sorry, sharing in a community of other people that are already sharing gratitude and only they will see it is like the safe baby step.
That's a good first step. Antonia, I want to go back to what you talked about in your introduction about the three steps of gratitude in your practice. Is that going to be included in the worksheet that I know you're giving our listeners access to?
It will.
Oh, yes. Cool.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, tell us about that freebie and then we'll go into some other stuff too. But what are we going to have there?
So basically in the freebie, it's going to walk us into a kind of a challenge to notice and a guiding aspect of, you know, some prompts, some gratitude questions or prompts to get you to notice things that might even be right in front of you that you're not really aware of. And then there will be some questions about, you know, actually what you appreciate or what you're grateful for about those things. And then it'll be like an invitation to share that with others. Although, you know, being in a worksheet, there's not an inherent sharing aspect of it.
Yeah, but you can encourage people to share it.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Now, I want to ask you if you can describe a time in your life when you didn't put yourself first and you weren't taking care of yourself the way you probably now know you need to.
This is such a lifelong journey. I mean, I can definitely describe to you a time when I wasn't at all, and I will. But I can also say that even now with all I know, I get back into those patterns of just feeling like I don't have time to take care of myself. And I always, the great part is now that I've practiced self-care for so long, I know that when I catch myself thinking that's exactly what I need to do at all costs. So I'm going to bounce back to the first part. And that is when my first professional job, I worked at New Mexico AIDS Services, and my clients were all HIV positive or had full blown AIDS. And this was really intense work. Mm. Like, this was the type of work that really led to burnout really quickly for people and things like that. And so I learned some hard, and at the same time, I was in a relationship that was not very healthy. Mm. So I learned some really valuable lessons around self-care, because I always felt like I had to like help everyone and fix everything and not really focused on myself. I think I kind of deliberately surrounded myself with people that needed a lot of help. And then therefore I seemed like I was doing great.
Right.
And that job, being so early in my adult life, really taught me some very valuable lessons around self-care.
Mm.
And then bouncing back to right now, just last week, I mean, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I am completely overwhelmed with a lot of stuff that's going on right now, both professionally and most significantly in some volunteer work that I'm a part of, and also with personal stuff that's going on and losses. A friend of mine just died. I mean, I have, my girlfriend's been in and out of the ER. I mean, I have just so much going on right now. And a friend of mine kept messaging me saying, "When are we going to go for a walk?" And I kept telling her jokingly, "I'll never be able to walk again." Like, ha, ha, ha.
Right.
And then finally I realized, wait, I need to actually stop. And I don't care what I miss. I need to go for a walk and connect with my friend. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not like I just learned it at one time and it's all smooth sailing. It's like I just keep having to relearn self-care.
Yeah, it is an ongoing process. And I feel like we go in ebbs and flows with it too. Like, sometimes you'll be in a really great flow with it or pattern, and then something, you know, happens personally and it kind of throws you off your schedule or your routine. And then sometimes it's hard to get back into it. So what you're saying is that is the moment when you absolutely need it most.
Definitely. And that's one of the things that I love about my gratitude practice being I don't let myself off of that, because it doesn't take any time. It's like, it takes me longer to brush my teeth at night than it does to practice gratitude. So, and I never say I'm too busy to brush my teeth, right? Like, so I never give myself a pass for writing down what I'm grateful for every night. So that's like the bare minimum of my self-care, and that's happening without exception. But my other levels of self-care sometimes can slip and ebb and flow.
Yeah. And so, Antonia, thinking back to when you were working with the AIDS service and getting burnt out, what was your sort of aha moment? Like, what What made that shift for you to where you were like, I have to start taking care of myself?
I just felt out of control. Like, I felt like at one point I felt like I was going crazy because I couldn't focus. And I was so, like, I remember one specific time when I got really caught up in this one particular client's a drama, for lack of a better word. You know, he was, his partner had kicked him out of the house and he was homeless, and his family told him that he couldn't stay there because he was an active drug user and they didn't trust him. And I was so caught up in his life. Mm-hmm. And I remember leaving, like going home for that day. And I was like, that's where I'm saying, like, I felt crazy. Like, I couldn't focus. I was like crying and upset and irritable with my family, and none of it really added up because it didn't even affect me, really. Right. I mean, it did professionally because my job was to connect him with services, but it wasn't, it's like you learned in this work that it doesn't have to become my crisis.
Right.
If somebody else is in crisis. So, so I just remember feeling crazy. And then I remember like snapping at people I love and things like that and realizing, wait, I can't just let other people's lives affect me this way.
Do you think that it had something to do with, sometimes we pour everything into other people's situations so that we don't really have to look at our own stuff and our own, you know, challenges in life?
Yes.
And that, you know, that is definitely, it's almost like you can hide in someone else's crisis so that you don't have to deal with your own, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, honestly, Giovanna, like, this is a pattern that I had for many, many years. I think, you know, I quit drinking a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was like, even up until when I quit drinking, like right before I quit drinking, I kept telling myself, like, I obviously don't have a drinking problem because look at how much so-and-so drinks and look at how much this other person drinks. And I've called myself out, realizing, like, I'm not them. Mm. Like, this, I don't want to live my life based on, you know, happening to like be surrounded by people that party more than me and feeling good about where I'm at in comparison or something. I don't know.
Right.
It's just, yes, I definitely agree with what you say. And it was something that happened in many, many levels. And most recently was when I quit drinking and finally realized, like, I was able to see past everything else and just look at what life I want from myself.
So did the gratitude practice happen and then you quit drinking, or did you quit drinking and then you were able to develop this new gratitude practice?
That's a really great question, because a lot of people are introduced to practicing gratitude in recovery. Mm. But mine, actually, through my gratitude practice, that's how I realized I needed to quit. Mm. It was really cool. Can I tell you the story?
Yeah.
So I won't go into the detail about like the whole situation, but basically I had a really, really, really hellish hangover, like the worst experience. I don't know. I can share that detail if people want to know that story. But the next day I was just terrible. Like, I just felt really sick. I couldn't even like lift my head, and I missed work. Not like my normal work, but like I helped my mom, like the family business. Mm-hmm. And so I wasn't reliable to my mom. I wasn't there like I should have been, and all this stuff. And I was beating myself up, which I always used to do after I would drink. And then I left it at that, you know, it was done. This was in November. And then in December, I always have this practice, or I've started in the last couple years, where I do a end of the year gratitude reflection, where I reflect back on what I was grateful for. Mm. And this particular year, I
challenged myself with a new question. And that was what basically it was something like, think of a time that you were not able to be grateful, like you could not find something to be grateful for. And basically look at that closer, delve into that. What was going on? Hmm. And what I realized was that I immediately, when I created that question for myself, I immediately knew what it was. It was that day. And I was still able to find gratitude that day, but it was more for like having gratitude for like a bucket to puke in, not like gratitude for where I was actually at. Mm. And so in my reflection, which was a month later, I looked back and said, you know, like, look at a time that you weren't grateful for and what lesson is in that for you and what choices can you make differently and things like that. And that was when it first started that I was like, I'm going to quit drinking. And it took me many months because this was the first of the year and I didn't end up quitting until April, but that was the scenario.
Mm. Okay. I'm speaking with Antonia Montoya of our Gratitude Collective. And Antonia, we're going into a segment called Superpowers for Success. So I want to ask you a few quick questions here. The first one is, what does success in life mean for you?
Gosh, that changes a lot. I think for me right now, success in life is about having really strong, powerful connections with people in all the different areas. So with family, with my partner, with mentors, with people that I meet, just having this like these really deep connections. And I mentioned earlier that I'm going through a really difficult time with a volunteer job that I have right now. And I'm really needing to lean on people, and realizing that I've cultivated these relationships makes me feel so much more successful right now.
Okay. And when did you know that you are really good at what you do? Was there a moment when you were like, okay, I kind of rock at this?
I knew you were going to ask this question. I had, because I listened to the podcast, I had this whole thing I wanted to share with you. But honestly, since then, something came up this weekend. Mm. I work with tribes in the state, some of the Native American tribes. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the long-term contracts that I have. Anyways, I was participating in a conference that I was helping facilitate, and we had a self-care segment of the conference where we had little like mini breakout sessions where we do little mini self-care sharing. And I did three of these in an hour, three 20-minute gratitude workshops in an hour. Mm. So I had like a different group for each of the different ones. Well, the last group that came up happened to be a group of all the elders. Ooh. These are like, this one is like a tribal council member, the oldest man who was there. Like, he led our prayer that we opened with. He was the recognized elder of the room. There was another woman who I was talking to about gratitude, and she's been practicing gratitude much longer than I have. There was a small group, but everyone was what I would have thought, like, I was intimidated when the group sat down, but I didn't let it stop me. And I went and did my workshop, and I guided people through the process and did a lot of sharing and was also respectful to the different ways that people that were there already practiced gratitude. Anyways, they liked it and everybody went on their way after. And the next day when this conference closed, the man who I mentioned is a tribal council member and elder, he came up to me and he kind of like bowed a little to me, and I'm kind of tearing up saying it, but he said, thank you so much for what you gave us in the session yesterday. And I'm really interested in this work that you do, and I want to hear more. And I learned so much.
Wow.
And I just thought, whoa. Like, I don't know how familiar you are or your listeners are with Native American forms of prayer, but I know in this particular community, which is Santo Domingo, they're very traditional, and the prayers are all gratitude. It's like that's all the prayers are, is about gratitude. And so for that, it was just like so humbling. But at the same time, I was like, yes, I do have something to offer. I'm good at what I do. And yeah.
Yeah, it was such so reaffirming for you that you're doing what you need to be, what you are doing, what you need to be doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Hmm. And so, Antonio, what superpower did you discover you had only to realize it was there all the time?
I think that for me, this one is about happiness being a choice. And this came years before my gratitude practice. But when I was in college, I had this whole, like, I used to call it my mid-college crisis. I had this whole, like, questioning everything phase and a huge spurt of personal growth that happened. And in that, I learned, people told me, but I actually finally learned that happiness was a choice. And it was one of those things that once I really got that, I felt so, talk about a superpower, like I felt so powerful. Like I can choose this at any moment.
Yeah. Gosh, when I hear you saying that, I just was thinking of a sense of relief. Like, God, what a relief. You mean I can choose happiness? Like, oh, that's great. I remember that happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Okay, I have a couple of more questions we're going to go quickly through. What do you do when you get knocked down? Like, how do you maintain your resilience or be resilient?
A couple of things. Immediately, like in that moment, I have to just be alone. Mm. Like, I have to go into nature, go for a walk, even just like park my car on the side of the road and walk around or whatever I need to do to just like be moving a little bit. I'm not like a big athletic person or that physical of a person, but something about like walking and moving and being in nature really helps me. And then of course the gratitude practice is like the more tangible thing that I go to.
Mm. And are you an introvert? Because if you want to be alone when you process something like that, is that more of an introvert thing?
I don't know. I'm kind of like the Myers-Briggs says that I'm an extrovert these days, but I'm barely an extrovert.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as, and I really can go both ways. So sometimes I need to process, like talk things through. A lot of times I need to talk things through, but not immediately. Yeah. I need to talk things through when I need to find answers. But when you're talking about getting knocked down, that's more like talking myself through to even get to the point of reaching out.
Yeah. And two more quick questions. One is, do you identify as a feminist?
Definitely. Yes, for sure. And I didn't used to. I used to have a problem with the word just because I thought it was... I don't know. It was just like a wording issue. I agreed with everything, but I had a problem with the word. And then I finally realized that the word is very important.
Mm.
And
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and it's a respect, I think, to my elders who have fought so hard and to get me to where I'm at in this place of privilege these days.
Nice. Last question, Antonia. What advice would you give your 25-year-old self?
Well, at that time when I was 25, I had a lot of struggle with just being alone and not having anything to do. Like, I'm an expert at relaxing now, and I wasn't then. So I think I would tell myself there's value in doing nothing and slowing down.
Nice. I like that. It's so hard to slow down though, right? Gosh, it has to be very intentional because it's hard.
Definitely.
Antonia, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
You're welcome. This was fun.
That's it for our show today. I've been speaking with Antonia Montoya, founder of Our Gratitude Collective, a virtual community space for practicing gratitude, feeling connected, and becoming inspired. I spoke with Antonia about how and why gratitude can help you lead a happier, more balanced life, her journey to gratitude and clean living, and why practicing and sharing gratitude is so important for spreading its impact. You can get Antonia's Noticing, Appreciating, and Sharing handout for free at wellwomanlife.com/027show. Our monthly live event, Well Woman Drinks, brings together women to share our successes and challenges as leaders, moms, aunts, sisters, and all the other roles we carry. If you'd like to attend a Well Woman Drinks near you, or if there isn't one in your city yet and you'd like to start one, email me at info@wellwomanlife.com. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment and subscribe in iTunes. And while you're there, leave a review. This helps raise visibility for the show, which is super helpful when it comes to producing the show every week for you. You can also continue the conversation in the Well Woman Life community group at facebook.com/groups/wellwomanlifecommunity. For feedback, comments, or just to let me know you were listening today, find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Well Woman Life. I'm Giovanna Rossi for The Well Woman Show. Until next time, have a super powerful week.